Say John has. Thank you so much for being on Radiant Creators. You're a lifelong martial artist, but you've also gotten into isometric training, which is really essential. And I think such an incredible missing link, because myself at 56 now, or is it 55? I forget. I stopped counting. I recently, a couple, years ago, got into Aikido and ended up, I done mixed martial arts and everything from, Kenpo karate to you name it. Always involved in something, even traditional boxing. But I always had a lifelong kind of dream of doing Aikido. And so there's an amazing Aikido studio right down the street. And I went, oh my gosh, I didn't know it was there. I started that and ended up injuring both my knees and I was done.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'd never, through all the years of doing martial arts, ever really had an injury other than something was sore. I just was one of those lucky people, kind of bulletproof, Even BJJ never
Call
really.
it being young. We call it being young.
Yeah, maybe it was because I was just young, and that was sort of a heartbreaking experience. I went, but I knew ultimately that it was because the flexibility wasn't there, the core strength wasn't there, the fascia was tight, and I'd been working on fascia release for a while. But anyway, I want to get back to it, and I know there's ultimately a path, a way to do that, and I was able to heal my knees with PEMF and a lot of physical therapy, so didn't need a knee replacement. So there is magic out there in the universe. And I think your work is definitely attached to that. And so, sorry for the long intro. Is there, how would you say hi and describe yourself and what you do?
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yes, I'm a lifelong martial artist. I've been training in martial arts probably since I was 10 years old. And, I got into martial arts mostly because I was a very scared and very shy little kid who could not stand up for himself, who could barely even speak to strangers. And I needed a way to boost my confidence because not only was I super shy, I was terrible at sports. So, I got into martial arts as a way to build confidence and ultimately learn how to fight, because I was bullied as a kid, and the getting beat up as a child is not fun. So I wanted to learn how to fight back. I wanted to learn how to defend myself, and that's kind of what led me into martial arts. But during the course of that career, I got into strength training as well. So one of my earliest inspirations was Bruce Lee, of course, right?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Because, Bruce Lee was one of the very first martial artists to fully integrate strength and conditioning work with martial arts. And up until that time, martial artists have always have had traditional strength training practices, but Bruce Lee kind of brought everything current, at least, current as far as the 60s and early 70s. And he introduced weight training, and he introduced conditioning, and he introduced isometrics
I didn't know. Okay.
into martial arts. And he was kind of my first inspiration to learn about isometrics. So that was a very, very long time ago. But that's how I got into all that stuff, is martial arts, Bruce Lee, strength training, isometrics, and then kind of that became the path that my life took forward from about the time I was 10 years old.
Wow. Yeah, we usually have that reason that we start, and I guess some people they just start because they had an interest. But I do think that, like for myself, it was, I went to a public school and it was, kind of in the ghetto, and so, violence was just part of going to school. And
Right.
I certainly don't endorse that. I think that things should be done much, much better than that. And I hold the teachers completely accountable for that, But and the school system in general, they allowed it to happen, But at the same time, that wasn't the reality that I was kind of born into. And so you unfortunately, as a kid, had to be able to defend yourself. And that was, I think, one of those things I realized as a youngster, and maybe why. Even after we're done being kids, I guess you could say, and maybe life gets safer, violence is always there. It's always there. It's always a possibility. And it just seems like when you're doing any kind of training, whether whatever it might be, because most people will go through different things. I find that what you're studying often depends on where you live and what's available, So sometimes it changes, but as long as you're doing something, that confidence level you have when to handle violence, which is always a possibility, to me, it just seems like, you're not going to be a monk meditating in the busy market unless you can defend yourself.
Exactly. It's funny because going back to Bruce Lee, he's got a great quote where, somebody said, "Oh, you must think about fighting all the time." And he says, "No, I don't think about fighting all the time." He said, "But I have to tell you that I would much rather be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war."
Yeah, exactly.
And it's,
Exactly.
you need to have the skills even if you don't use them,
Yeah.
because those skills translate over into much more than simply fisticuffs, right?
Yeah.
Those skills give you confidence. They build discipline. They keep you healthy. They, create integrated movement. They create injury prevention. They help you to stay strong and healthy as you get older. Like, it's not just let's get in a ring and fight, or let's, throw down at a local bar. It's my job is, as a martial artist, is to be the guy who protects everyone around him,
Yeah.
right? Because I have the skills, I have a responsibility. That's the thought process, not I'm gonna go beat up some guy because he cut me off, right? It's I need to be able to defend myself, my loved ones, and others around me because I have the skills to do so.
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah, because so really, it ultimately becomes a service to your community and others. It's not necessarily strictly a self-centered act, and especially with the kind of training that you're doing, you're getting that part that yoga, would have been and or is, and also like what asymmetric work is, and we can get into that for sure. And also breath work is something that you have courses on. And so these things that, I think by themselves, maybe I'm just a short attention span, but can be boring. Yoga can be boring. I mean, it's great, but sometimes when you go and do hatha and you're doing those 26 poses, I'm like, oh my gosh, can I wear headphones or something? Listen to a podcast. But when you integrate them also together and into a martial art, into that movement, to me, it keeps it way more interesting. And also, you're not just a great, yogi, and you're also not just great at, myofascial release and such. You're also, you have this skill that is a service to your community, and others. And yeah, and it may come up where it's not a violent encounter at all. You just have more physical ability than others, because and so you have you're more in touch with your body. So who knows what you might do in service to your community. Yeah.
And I think one of my favorite quotes is it's in French, and my French is horrible, so I'm just going to translate it to English. And
Yeah.
it's, "Be strong to be useful."
Yeah, I like that.
And that really resonates with me. That really resonates with me because, you're not just, again, strength training is great for yourself, for your body, but also, as you just said, to be in service to others, to be a useful part of the community, to, even be able to lend a helping hand if somebody's moving a table, moving a piece of furniture, whatever you need to do. But you have to be strong in order to do that, right? With all the things that I've been studying, and you alluded to a few of them, the yoga, the breath work, the isometrics, the martial arts, strength training, all these different things kind of come together in a system that I've created that I've termed the iron body system. And initially, when I was studying kettlebells, I was like, okay, I'm a kettlebell guy. When I was studying isometrics, I'm like, okay, I'm an isometrics guy. Studying body weight exercise, okay, I'm a body weight exercise guy. I'm a martial artist. I'm a yogi. Until I started to realize that all these things have very, very similar overlap, and that they need to be trained together, because the idea is not, the tool is not the purpose, right? You are the purpose. And what you want to do, at least, for me and my students, as a martial artist, you need to, what we call, build the body beneath the art. And that's a kind of a fun way of saying your martial art is dependent upon your body, right? It doesn't matter what you're doing, whether it's Tai Chi, BJJ, Aikido, Judo, Jiu-Jitsu, your martial art is limited by your ability to express it. And if your body cannot express the fullness of the technique, then you are not doing the full martial art, right? So the goal is to build a body, because the body is literally the platform upon which every technique is launched, right? There's no punch, there's no throw, there's no weapons without the body being the delivery system. So if you don't build that delivery system, you are pretty much not able to express that art to its full potential. So, for me, my thought process, my system, my theory has always been, build the body and then everything else will come, right? Because if you build the body, you're strong, you're resilient, you're flexible, you're mobile, you're integrated. You can use breath work and you can use any type of strength training tool, because ultimately it all reflects from the body outward.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely does. And it seems like one of the places that maybe traditional martial arts get there's a lack in the big picture is where somebody goes to learn, start doing karate or like in my case, Aikido, which even with some martial arts, background, being able to, do rolls and everything, so I had some familiarity. It wasn't like the moves were that foreign. I mean, they are. It's unique, but it wasn't completely foreign to me. And but where Aikido, it's so much gymnastics. It's so much rolling. I mean, it's a roll centric art. Everything you do, you're rolling around. And it's great. It's very flowery. It's very expressive. And it's ultimately that way because they were dodging swords. So you want to get far away, but even though the studio was very close to the I forget the original guy's name, I forget. Even though it was in the lineage, it's like one off. I mean, and these guys, the guy who heads it up is amazing, and so he's doing everything correct. Like the studio is correct in what it's doing, but I brought the wrong body. And that's the part that's missing because before people start that endeavor, oftentimes they're maybe you need to spend, a year or something like that, or maybe longer, maybe shorter, getting your body ready for that particular martial art or that particular training. And I think that's just something that like the schools can only do so much. They train their curriculum and their curriculum is correct, but maybe your body's not right when you show up. And that's the part that they don't, I guess it's not really their job, but that's our job to make sure our body is ready to do it. But we don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know, I don't think you need to spend time getting ready to do the art. I think it could be concurrent, right?
Okay.
Just like an athlete needs to train in season, yeah,
Yes.
a martial artist needs to train while doing classes, while doing seminars, while doing workshops, while studying one-on-one with a teacher. Like your solo training is what is building everything. And that's the stuff that you do in the background. That's the stuff that nobody sees, right?
Yeah.
And but you can't get from white belt to black belt or higher than black belt without doing this fundamental training that's kind of creating that platform, that delivery system that we talked about to build your body underneath the art to support everything that you're doing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, one of my teachers likened it to someone who is, you know, somebody who plays guitar, right? You may practice with your band once a week. You may
Yes.
have a concert once a month, but you're playing chords every single day, right?
Yeah.
You got to put in that work because otherwise the rest of the stuff, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah,
The
makes
stuff does
sense.
not work as well if you're not putting in that daily work. Same with martial arts. If you're not doing daily training, and you know, in my system, we call it the daily eight because
Yeah.
it's a series of eight exercises that we do that you just kind of do them religiously, like you brush your teeth every day, you do these eight exercises every day, and over time, you start developing a stronger, more powerful, more integrated, more resilient martial body that is that delivery system for your art.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a body that's ready for, life, for the physical aspect of life, and then of
Totally.
course, all the non-physical aspects that we get, from it, of course, discipline, presence, etc., confidence. And so, one of the courses that, or a series of courses that I saw, on your website is, they're all to do with breath. And so that's something that I think with Wim Hof especially, I think people are beginning to be more conscious of breath, and I think little Wim's done a lot for the world, with his mad crazy hyperventilating and then jumping in a frozen river. I mean, I can endorse it. It works very well, but I would say that the Wim Hof method is so intense, I think it's just never going to be right for some people, but there is breath work that is, I would say, as powerful or more powerful ultimately, that builds a deeper foundation. And it seems like, even though I haven't gone through any of your courses yet because I'm still new to it, but can you tell us about your breath work courses?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, breath work is a huge and fascinating topic, and it's something that I have been just you know, worked on for years and years and years. Kind of any teacher that I could find who was teaching breath work, any resource that I could devour. And of course, your body is your laboratory, right? Your body is your laboratory. And many people, when they think of breath work, they think of meditation, right? They think of calm nasal breathing, where you're kind of sitting cross-legged and you're relaxing and you're focusing. And that is one aspect, right? But you need breath work that's going to support every activity that you do. And for example, if you are doing strength training, then the breath, if you're doing a deadlift, your breath work is much different than if you're meditating, obviously.
Yes.
If you are doing conditioning work, then your breath work is different than your strength training. If you are doing yoga or, you know, martial art, your breath work is different. So you kind of have to train the body in many different layers of breath work so that you have access to these things automatically when you need them. So for me and my system, we kind of divide the breath work up into three different levels, right? Kind of the upper respiratory is the top level of the lungs. The intercostals is the middle level, and then the diaphragmatic is the deepest level, right? And this is a really, really high level overview. But if you think about it, when you are trying to increase your energy, you breathe quickly, right? You and that kind of ramps you up, increases your heart rate, gets you ready for work. And that, but that's a very shallow breath, right? That's an upper level breath. As you go deeper, you start to get into the core and you start to engage more of the core and you start to pull air deeper into the body. And at the deepest level, your diaphragmatic inhalation, your abdominal breathing is going to be your fullest, deepest, most complete breath, which is going to kind of oxygenate the body. It's going to prepare the body for movement. It's going to allow you to move better. It's going to allow you to integrate your movement with your breath, all those different things. But you have to understand how to change from one breath work to another in the context of what you're doing. Does that
Okay.
make sense?
Oh, it certainly does.
Makes
Yes.
sense? Okay.
Yeah. Wow. And then
So,
you have, yeah. Okay. Keep going.
oh, I was just going to say, like, we take breath work from many different traditions. So from yoga, from qigong, from various traditional martial arts, there are many different types of breathing that all work on integrating the body and work on also fascinating stuff is reverse breathing, where you're actually conditioning the tissues of the body with the breath. So this is kind of a huge topic that I go into in many of my courses, but the reverse breathing actually pulls the fascia in towards the center of the body, and then it's kind of a push and pull type movement to start to work on all the different tissues, and it's strengthening the tissues as you breathe, which
Oh,
is how
wow.
creates a very powerful conditioning exercise, because you are not only strengthening the tissues, but you're connecting them from your extremities to your center. And anyone who is doing martial arts understands the importance of the center,
Oh, of
right?
course.
And the more
Yeah.
you can move from center, the more you can connect to center, the more you can understand that everything is translated to and from the center of the body, the better, stronger, more powerful, more resilient you're going to be as a martial artist and a human being.
Oh, definitely. Oh, that's amazing. And that's one of the things that really intrigued me when I looked and I saw that you had all the breath work, and I can try to. I will see if I can successfully, by chance here, if this works, I will try to share without my computer blowing up here. Let me try. Let's see, and we'll see if we still see each other and such. I believe you're still there. Let's see. There you are. Okay. And I think so. I'll share the screen for a second here, just so people can see. Oh, there you are. You're over there. Okay, there. Let me pull that down so I can see both of us. There we go. A little bit bigger. All right. So, under the products page here, you have, of course, you have your all products, but also, it starts out with all products. But then, of course, breath work. And that really was intriguing to me because I think that it's just overlooked. It is. And you've got your, and I love the imagery and of course the amazing names for some of this. It's amazing, the Breath Forged Warrior. I mean, who doesn't like that? I want to be a Breath Forged Warrior.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. And Shadow Strength. That sounds really that sounds interesting. And then breath work, mindfulness, and meditation. So really you're of course Vital Force, the yin of strength. I mean, this is deep stuff. That's why I wanted to talk to you and help get it out there, because I have not done any of the the courses yet, but I mean, these are intriguing. I mean, can you like in the briefest way, because I know there's a lot of them here, but like just describe what they are.
Sure, absolutely.
Or even just one of them, because I know I'm asking you to define a lot. I
It's
mean,
all good. It's all good. So all of these, the Warrior's Health System is the basis of my mobility work and breath work. And
Okay.
that really, those three levels of breathing that I was talking about earlier, that's all inside the Warrior's Health System. The vital force, the yin of strength, that is the idea that, there are two ways to increase strength, right? One is to continue to push forward, right? Continue to push, continue to push. But the other one is to realize that if you take your foot off the brake, you remove the restrictive forces around the body, you have access to a greater level of your strength without doing anything, if that makes sense.
Oh, it certainly does. Yes.
So, Vital Force is a Qigong program where we learn how to use the breath, movement, alignment, and energy to kind of take the brakes off of our system and allow our body to more fully express the energy that we have intrinsically.
Oh, wow.
And that's kind of the subject of many of these. Like shadow strength is very similar. We go deeper in there with shadow strength. The martial qigong, same idea. We kind of go. We look at each one of these programs looks at the breath work from a different angle, a different perspective, and it gives you exercises and different ways to approach the same topic. So it's a very comprehensive set of courses that you've got on the screen right there.
Gotcha. And I see there's a page two. Let's see. Oh, there is. Evolve your breathing. Oh, wow. Essential techniques for optimal performance. Learn unique and powerful breathing exercises drawn from martial arts. Yeah, wow. Okay. So these are amazing. And so that's is there one that would be a good, like, if you which one do you recommend as, hey, if this is your first one, this would be a good entry into this.
I gotta tell you, I really enjoyed the Breathforged Warrior.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, of course, I love all of my courses,
Yeah.
but I do think that the Breathforged Warrior is a very fun course, and it does go deep into different aspects of breath work that I think many people may not realize or may not fully understand. So if I had to pick one, I would probably pick that one.
Okay, that's great. I mean, oh, and of course, when it's clicked on, it certainly does break down what the course is about, and I definitely want, like the fire of spirit radiating from my heart chakra also. And so I'm gonna and so
Who
you know this
doesn't?
this Oh, that's so great. And then it breaks down, the 4 week cycle, week one, week two, week three. So it's all well defined, that's awesome. I mean, so that's a great place to start. Okay, and that's what I could recommend to people. Hey, the Breathforged Warrior, check it out, And then
Right.
of course you've got many, and I guess we could go through all of them, but I'll stop sharing for a moment. And so it's just you and me again. And so something that like in the work that you put out there, and I am new to it, but I think the world right now is I think they call it like folk smear or woke smear. It's a German word, and sorry, I don't know what's happening today. A little bit too much weather modification up there. There's it's called work. Oh God, world pain. And it's a German word, and I can never quite remember it. It's really unique, and it has a deep meaning. Not everything translates between languages, but in German, it means like there's this pain that the world, since we're all connected, there's like a certain level of pain that exists within the world, and we're aware of it. But there's times when it is it it it's greater than it should be, and everyone feels it, and that's the idea. And so they would say that, like, they would take note that there's more pain than there should be in this city, you might say. And so I think that people are feeling a lot of stress, because maybe, at least I think, the world pain is a little, it's cranked up a bit. If nothing else, the world fear certainly is. And so people oftentimes feel like, breath and movement are what you need, but that can be the hardest thing. Because when the body is feeling fear, when there is stress, it makes you want to keep your arms in, your hands in close. You want to hunch forward, protect your heart, and you want to like not breathe. That and you're like, if I could just like take the day off and go under the bed and just do that, I would be most happy. That would really work for me. But that's not good. And so it seems like with the eight movements, and I have the book right here, of course, which I'm just getting, so I
Awesome,
am,
awesome.
looking through the movements, and one of the things that this was, to me, what's great is the idea of being able to wake up in the morning. I think when sometimes we might wake up in the morning when we might be at our like our state of least ease sometimes, and when you can start a practice of breathing, of like of movement, of the isometrics, where you're kind of where you're at, like, okay, I it's this morning, I don't want to move, I'm stressed out, I gotta go things I don't want to do today, I gotta have phone calls I don't want to have, like, you name it. But I think so many people are looking for, man, if I could just start the day in a way that I could cultivate the power that I have, I'd be so much more ready for every day. And I think that's something that people are really needing right now. When I saw this, I was like, oh yeah, like there's there's no discipline without this. Gosh. This is the horse dance.
I'll give you something even more fundamental. And, in addition to martial arts and strength training, I also have some personal training clients that I work with. And a lot of them are older, in their 70s or even 80s. And I've been working with these people for years. And as they get older, it's interesting to see the challenges that they go through and how being strong is helping them as they get older. And couple of people, in particular, one guy said to me the other day, he said, when I get, I have trouble like getting out of bed. Like my body just doesn't feel ready to get out of bed. And if I turn and I swing my legs over and I stand up, I don't feel steady. And I said, okay, here's what you're going to do. Before you even get out of bed, I'm like, reach your hands up as high as possible. Point your toes, reach your feet as far as possible. Squeeze your entire body isometrically as you breathe. So inhale, squeeze everything for about 5 seconds. Exhale, release, relax. Do that 3 to 5 times, and that will prepare your body for movement. You will activate your muscles. You will activate the blood flow. You will activate the breath. You will activate the internal energy. And he looked at me kind of funny because he's 83 and he's like, you want me to do this? So I said, I'm like, look, just humor me and do it tomorrow and let me know. So he's like, whatever. Then a week later, when I saw him, he goes, that thing you told me? Oh my God, I do it every day. I feel great. I get out of bed. I'm ready to go. This, how did you do that? So it's isometrics and breath work. Yeah, that's it. But so even more fundamental than rolling out of bed into a horse stance, which I highly recommend. But before you get out of bed, stretch as far as you can. Tighten everything with your breath. Inhale, tighten. Exhale, relax. Do it 3 to 5 times, and you will be energized, focused, and ready to take on your day.
Oh wow. And when you mentioned reaching your arms out, I guess that's like, so it would be up and over above your head,
Right, as
reaching
far as you
out.
can. Yeah, stretch, stretch, stretch.
Like hands together or hands apart?
I would keep hands apart.
Okay, hands
You
apart.
want to pull all the fascia.
Gotcha,
So that's
gotcha.
another, that's a secret. Don't tell anyone. Oh, wait.
Okay.
We're on a
Yeah.
podcast.
Don't let them
But
know about the fascia, no.
don't let them know about
Yeah,
that.
yeah.
When you stretch the fascia, it actually increases the internal heat.
Yes.
And that actually helps you with the energy and the blood flow. So that's another thing that you're doing when you're doing that stretching.
Oh wow. And so definitely I hope he has a California king. No, I mean, if he's doing that, definitely you may end up like a, if you're sleeping with somebody at night, you may have to, I don't know, like, figure something out there in the morning.
Yes.
And unless you're both doing that, which very well could be,
Exactly.
I'd probably end up on the floor doing that. But let's see. Well, because when it comes to doing that, see, that's the thing. I've recently gotten in the practice of like starting the day with I think in yoga they call it the mountain pose, where it's not hands over the head. It's like your feet are like shoulder width apart, and then your hands are like down, like but palms facing forward, but like palms are, as they would say, as they would say in a yoga class, activated. your
Yes,
your
yes,
palms
yes.
are activated, and so
Yes.
you're, it's this, and shoulders back and down, your head, pull, from, bottom
Right.
to top. and
Right.
uh
Right.
and uh And if one just does that, this is the thing about helping people kind of get, breaking out of that stress paralysis, which many people are living in, the stress
Yeah.
paralysis.
Yes.
Because that way, okay, you're going downstairs, or you're in your bedroom, wherever you are, and you get into that movement. And if you spend a few minutes there, a person's going to feel this just rush of fire of energy. I mean, it's going to begin to energize them to go into the next movement, it
Yes.
seems. Yeah.
Yeah, that posture is very, very fundamental. And
Yeah.
if you think about it a little bit esoterically, when your feet are sinking into the ground and your head is lifting into the sky, you're literally standing between heaven and earth. And you're activating the energy of heaven and earth. And that's yin and yang, right, in Chinese cosmology. So that standing practice is seen in many traditional martial arts, is seen in yoga, is seen in Qigong, is seen in Chinese medicine. All these things are very interconnected because it's a fundamental need for us to activate those energies. And when you do that standing posture in the morning, if you think about sinking my feet into the ground, lifting my crown into the sky, you are now what they call Tenchijin, heaven, earth, and man.
Oh, wow.
You are linking the energies of heaven and earth through man, you, right? Through my intent, through my will, I am now creating this connection. And
Wow.
that's what
Yeah.
that standing practice is doing. That's what you have to kind of focus on, is that feeling of sinking into the ground, lifting into the sky, and my intent doing those things. That creates the connection.
And that's the thing. It may not to anyone who's familiar with it, that's one, it's understood. But I think it's like the person you were talking to about in the morning, do this in bed and stretch. You go,
Right.
are you kidding? And I'm like, it's one of the things that you mentioned in your book, and I highlighted it here. It's the very first line, almost after the index. The isometric warrior building internal power through stillness. I thought I was strong until I had to stand still. And I highlighted that section there because that's the thing where standing there in mountain pose, I do, it's like one will start to feel, it's one of those things where you don't have to believe it. You
No,
can put it to the test and you will begin to feel it. Yeah. But something is happening.
It's funny. It's funny, when I wrote that line, I had something very specific in mind. And I had been trying to do a standing practice for years. And I had read books on, standing meditation, Jam Jong, or mountain pose, any of these things. And I had tried to kind of teach myself how to do it, and I hated it. I could not stand there for more than 2 minutes without fidgeting, without, making up some excuse. I thought to myself, I'm like, this is crap. I'm like, this is nonsense. But I always felt like I was missing something, right? And I met a teacher who taught me and who made me stand. And suddenly I understood, right, all the things that I had been doing wrong in my trying to figure this out. And I learned from this teacher how to do this standing practice correctly. And suddenly everything clicked and everything made sense. But up until that point, I hated doing the standing meditation. I hated standing because it was so hard. But then I understood, what am I actually doing? What am I really activating? What is the proper alignment and positioning, and how does my internal focus creating this posture, not just the outside, picture of it, but how is my internal focus really doing the posture and creating the effect? Then I finally figured out, okay, now I can do this. Now I can stand for 40 minutes, And but up until that point, God, I hated it.
Oh, I get it. And that's the thing, is putting it into context, understanding what it's doing. Like one of the postures in the book here is downward dog, And anyone who has done yoga, if you've done yoga at all, if you've gone to a yoga class, if you're a yoga practitioner, I mean, you are probably really tired of downward dog. You probably have a particular, like absolute disdain for it. But because it's so integral, I mean, there's no like yoga class without downward dog. And when you know, and as people get the book, and you should get this book, when you put it in context and you start realizing, oh, now I get what I'm doing, then when you're doing downward dog, you're like, okay, it's like understanding it takes the suffering out of it, because now you get it. It's a much more yeah, it's an active process. You're aware of what's happening and you want it to be happening, and you're you, yeah, go ahead.
And then you get to the point where, as Dostoevsky once said, enjoy your suffering. Love your suffering, because it is still suffering, but it's a suffering with an understanding of why you're doing this crazy posture and how it's benefiting your body, and it's how it's creating connections with the mind and the body, and how it's really facilitating a healthy relationship with your environment and yourself, and it's creating a discipline and all these different things. And it's so good that you just have to do it. But yeah, you will suffer if you do it long enough.
You will suffer, but maybe it also integrates gratitude. You have this
Sure.
gratitude for it,
Sure, absolutely.
and that is a whole, and that's a thing where this stuff works on so many levels, however many levels a person is aware of or believes exist, because that changes how you live your day, how you live your life, how you take on challenges, how you take on, many things that we face are impossible. But you don't quit. You just do the next step. You just do something. You just do something.
Right.
And
Right. Yes.
that practice can extend into everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so one of the things in your book that you mentioned was the nervous system adaptation. And you had a couple bullet points, and they really, to me, they really spoke to me were direct more electricity into key muscles, eliminate energy leaks through better fat, through better fascia engagement, also increase intramuscular synchronization by our all fibers together. And
Right.
so when you mention a direct more electricity into key muscles, I guess it's kind of self-explanatory, but what is that?
So think about, all of these things are mind-body technology, right? And type of technology is dependent upon electricity, right? Your nervous system operates upon with electricity, right? Electrical impulses. But to make it even clearer is if I tell you, to close your fist, you automatically can close your fist, right? You know how to do that. But if I tell you, can you feel your left earlobe? You're like, yeah. Can you direct your attention to your left earlobe? And I don't know. Most people are like, I don't know what you mean. The idea is that your mind and your body have to function together. And where attention goes, energy flows, right? So that's why this we call it that's this mind-body technology has to integrate together. So you cannot just do these things without thinking about them, right? It's not the I'm just going to hold this pose and suffer through it. It's I have to activate my mind, which is activating my nervous system, which is creating this deeper connection. Because without that mind-body connection, most of this stuff is kind of useless. This stuff, to be honest, most of this stuff is kind of stupid without a mind-body connection. And we have to use the mind to get deeper into the body to create a greater connection to facilitate a better response. Right, if that makes sense. Yeah. So that's kind of what that bullet point is alluding to. We need a greater mind-body connection to get deeper into the posture, to get deeper into the position, to get deeper into ourselves, to really understand what's activating and how it's activating and what changes it's creating for us. And then that continues with that removing restrictions. Is the more efficiently you do something, the less energy you use, right? You can be very effective at something, right? I can be very effective at, throwing a punch. Like I can throw the hardest punch in the world, but if I'm not efficient at throwing that punch, I may only be able to throw a couple before I'm exhausted, right? So if I'm a good boxer, not only am I throwing a very hard, powerful, integrated punch? I'm throwing an energy efficient punch because I'm using only the muscles that are necessary to create that movement. And I'm relaxing the inhibitory muscles. So I'm allowing that to develop faster. Right. So again, the greater attention you have to the exercise, the greater detail that you understand, the more efficient your body becomes at that exercise. Does that make sense?
Oh, it certainly does. No, it certainly does. And and eliminating or eliminate energy leaks through better fascia engagement. So an
Right.
energy leak, I think I have some. So how do you define, your eliminating energy leaks?
So think about it like you ever go food shopping and you get the shopping cart where the wheels never quite go straight?
Yes.
Push in that freaking cart and it takes a lot of work to push that stupid cart, but you're not going to change it because you already put your groceries in it. That cart operates, right? It goes, but because the wheels are slightly crooked, it's you're putting much more energy into pushing that cart. If those wheels were straight and greased and functioned properly, then that energy would go directly into where you're pushing, right? And it would be much more e it would be easier. So the same thing is with your body. When your alignment is off, when you're putting too much effort into one particular muscle group, then you're ineffectively using the energy that you have. When you can use only the appropriate amount of strength, when you can have your alignment solid and make sure that you are moving in concert with the way that you, this posture is, then suddenly you begin to eliminate those energy leaks and your power goes where it's supposed to be rather than, off center with the squeaky wheel.
Oh yeah. You got one wheel that won't really turn, and one that just like wobbles back and forth. And well, the thing is, I notice it the shopping cart's a great analogy because it does appear like when you go out and you go to the supermarket, when you go out and about, you see that, in our society at the moment, everybody's broken. Everybody has energy leaks, and there's way too many people who are limping around, who are and I think what happens is that we do have that misalignment. We have the energy leaks, and what happens is people begin to just work with them. So I mean, eventually you get used to that shopping cart, and then you just learn, okay, when I go around corners, I just go like this, and when I do this, I kind of push it sideways, I do this because, and so you just start working with it. I think that's what happens, is that it seems that many people have had a misalignment. Something wasn't right, just by birth. It just it, so this wasn't perfect, and it
Or
could,
through injury, or through injury
okay,
or age.
injury, age. Yeah, I mean, sometimes we're maybe not totally straight, but we can straighten ourselves. It could have been, you might have been born a little bit crooked. We fix that all the time. And so these small imbalances, by the time a person goes to their 20s, their 30s, their 40s, and of course injuries happen and such like that. But that's the thing, is that it seems like people just learn to work with the cart that's all jacked up, and it just gets worse, and they don't notice it because they're used to pushing it sideways and going like this way around corners and doing this and doing that. And and they're used to exerting a tremendous amount of effort to just move around. And I think that that's something that I would call it almost like a pandemic of energy leaks out there, because it's more prevalent than it was in the 70s, more prevalent than it was in the 80s. And I only see it getting worse. But I do think also, more than we used to know, we know now how to keep our shopping cart
Keep the
in good
shopping cart in
working
alignment,
order.
right? Let me ask you this. When you look around, if you go out in public and you look around, what do you see everybody doing? Right?
Their
This.
phone. Yeah,
Right?
they're
You see my head, see my posture.
yes.
This is a tremendous energy leak right here, right? This forward, you got to put your head back on top of your spine. This thing's kind of heavy. And if it's always forward because you have text neck, right? Then you are leaking energy, here. Your shoulders are tight. Your neck hurts. Your breath is shallow. Your posture is rolled forward and collapsing your chest rather than if I just take my chin and push it back. where my head is now on top of my neck, suddenly my shoulders go back, my chest opens up, I can inhale deeply through my nose, I can breathe, I can move more efficiently, right? I use less energy because my alignment is better. The better your alignment, the more energy efficient your body, because we are designed to be anti-gravitational, right?
And so using less energy, and also I guess it could be said using the appropriate amount of energy, because I think many people, they don't know what the
Right.
appropriate amount of energy feels like. Like, they don't know what it is. I mean, they're used to just being exhausted getting around,
Sure.
you
Yeah. Yeah.
know. And it's one of those
Yeah.
things where, like, if you've never, if you've never driven like a, a 66 Chevelle with a 396 big block in it, like from the factory, you don't really know how that car drives. You don't really know. You know what I mean? And so if you get an old one that and you want to restore it, you're sort of guessing at what this thing would run like, because you don't really exactly know, because you never drove a new one, you know? So, and I think that, yeah, many people would be getting to know their body in a way that, like, they don't even have a reference for. They don't really know what it's
Right.
like to move around without pain and restriction, you know?
Exactly. And that brings
Yeah.
back to breath work,
Breathwork,
isometrics, and mobility.
mobility,
Right?
and
All those things, combine together to give you that roadmap for moving appropriately, for being strong, healthy, integrated, and able to move efficiently as you go about your day, right? If you can't walk from point A to point B without limping, or using too much effort, or whatever it is, like you have to go back and do the work on yourself, so that you become more efficient, more effective, more powerful, more integrated, stronger as a human being, to again be strong, to be useful. Right?
And you do have one of your series is the kata, and I believe that the kata covers within it, like, the basically like eight mobilities, I think it is. I mean, I was just looking at it, and so that's something that I'm definitely interested in. Is I mean, and can you tell us about that? Is it on the site? I could even pull it up. I mean,
Yeah, it's on the site. The so the Iron Body Kata is kind
yeah.
of the top level. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I'll find it here. Functional strength. Let's see,
Go to the
is it?
all products.
Yeah, all products. It's probably easier.
And then
Iron, let's
it's
see,
right there, Iron Body Kata.
iron body. Oh, there it is, right there. Oh, and iron body kettlebell system. What? So iron body kata. There we go. Okay, I'll even try to make it a little bigger. Let's see. There we go, so we can see it easier. Okay, iron body kata. Yeah, this to me looks very interesting. Is this a video series, or how does it put together?
Yeah, this is a video series. It's a video series along with PDF guides, and basically gives you all the puts together all the different aspects of this Iron Body Kata system, and guides you through the process of learning it. But this is kind of the capstone on top of the Iron Body universe. So remember those daily eight exercises we were talking about? So those daily eight are kind of the foundation of this Iron Body system, and this Iron Body Kata here is basically the top level of that.
Okay, iron body kata. Okay, so there's iron body kata, And then and so and within that, is that the daily eight movements are covered in there? The
So the actually, can you go out one, go back out to the main product page just for a quick second?
Let's okay. There's all
And
products.
so if you go to the Iron Body Core System,
There we go, Iron Body Core System. Okay.
so this covers everything.
Oh, okay.
So this is basically like, I believe it's six modules, but it's this covers everything from the base of the pyramid, the daily eight exercises, to the advanced daily eight exercises, to the standing practice, to the isometrics, to
Oh,
the
wow.
breath work, to the iron body kata, eventually at the top.
Gotcha. Okay. Y core system. Okay. So it's got, so this is kind of everything. All right. The five qualities of the iron body, the iron body daily eight. Okay. Like the, it shows them, I guess, right here. I think
Yes, yes, yeah. There's the daily eight, and then there's the advanced level of that.
Okay, that's amazing. Okay, so this goes through a lot. Okay, wow. The iron silk method. I like that. And so that, so this is actually a couple. Okay, so and then this one, okay, and so this one has, so people can kind of go with each module that they like the ones that speak to them, or they can get the, iron body core system.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
yeah, and so like the daily eight. So I do like the just because people oftentimes they see stuff and they go, well, where would I start? And it seems like for the breath work, if one's focused on I want to breathe, I know I don't breathe, there's the Breath Forged Warrior, that one, and then the Iron Body Core System. That's definitely that has got mostly everything in it, and that's definitely a way to go. But then, if people want to just focus on something in particular, the individual courses are a little, well, they cost less because there's just one,
Yes.
but like the Iron Body Kata, that is good for, like this is like the so this would be, I'd imagine that when I think of a kata, it's a series of memorized movements.
Yes,
And so
absolutely.
he, yeah, and so here you would be going through, is it like one long kata or a couple? Is it? I'm just kind of curious what it is exactly.
Inside the course, I break it out into, I believe it's four different modules inside the kata. And then I've also added a separate kettlebell kata inside this as
Oh.
well. So, but again, remember that the whole idea is this feeling of building the body beneath the art so that you
Yeah.
create that delivery system for everything that you do. And this iron body kata is kind of the upper level of putting all this stuff together so that
Gotcha.
you can work this kata and you're training structure, you're training elasticity, you're training breath, you're training functional movement, you're training isometrics, all inside the kata.
Oh, I like that. I like that. And okay. And then so I guess the I guess you can of course memorize it, and then you go at your own speed, but is there also where you could, I guess you're probably standing there doing the kata, so a person can, is it set up where you can kata along with you as well? I guess
There is a follow along video as well.
I'm following. That's great, because
Yes.
that's awesome. So yeah, I mean, that's amazing. That's really interesting. So I mean, some of the ones that, I imagine would speak to most people, they, speak to me, of course, as well. Is the Breath Forged Warrior looks amazing. The Iron Body Kata is amazing. And then of course, if a person really wants to go for it, there is the whole system that you can get. I like it because a person can see, well, what moves me. I like this one too. And the Iron Body 8 module 1, like this one, I like this one because one thing, it's kind of cheap, right? But also so this would be like is this just sort of just the basic daily eight, or is this kind of a kata as well, or
Yeah,
just the individual?
this is a series of individual exercises, right?
Gotcha.
Eight exercises, right? But the idea again with this is that you do these eight exercises, but the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So that when you put these exercises together, they were designed to be done together, and it's also designed to be, a 10-minute to 30-minute practice. So those people who say, "I don't have time," you got time.
Oh yeah. And especially if someone has done, it has any familiarity at all. If not, it's totally fine. But some of this stuff is going to look, familiar, like the torture of bear crawling. Dantian breathing, horse stance breathing. Yes. I mean, so some of these are going to be familiar to people, and putting them all together is great. So, I mean, you have a great, body of work here, and I see there's also mobility. And is that more like the myofascia work, or is that for the mobility aspect, or
The mobility, I'll tell you a secret. All of it works on the fascia.
gotcha. Of
Yeah,
course, yeah. That makes sense. Gotcha. Yeah. Oh, the Lone Warrior, solo training for martial arts. That's kind of cool.
it's funny. That's the program where I had put a little isometrics module inside this program. That isometrics module became the basis for my book
Really?
because
Okay.
people had reached out and said, "I love this stuff. Can you give us more?" And I was like, "Yeah, I guess so." And I started putting stuff together. And eventually, after several months, I'm like, "I got a book here." And that's how I wrote the isometric warrior training guide, was because I had started with this program. And I had put a little bit of isometric work inside here as a module. And I just kept getting people saying, "Hey, can we get more? Can you explain this more? Can you give us more exercises, more background?" So that's how I wrote the book, is because I did it in this program.
Wow, that's fun. I like that. Phase three, mastering combat skills alone. Yeah, bag work and solo impact training, shadow fighting, combat visualization. Yes, cat kettlebell and weaponized strength training. That's amazing. I saw I once saw a video of Russian school kids, and they must have been like, I don't know, I'd say I'm not sure the age, but let's say young teenagers,
Yeah.
and it was their gym class, and they were just doing what they did kind of every gym class, and
Right.
it was a kettlebell workout, and these kids were unreal. They were strong, and I was thinking, should they be lifting that much weight? I don't, but these kids were, I mean, because it's just what they did. It's what they've been doing for years
Absolutely.
and years, and man, they
Absolutely.
were. You know, they were, they had a their fashion was doing just fine.
And
Wow.
I'll tell you a funny story real quick, is
Yes.
that my first kettlebell teacher was a guy who did Russian martial arts, and he was
Oh,
Russian. And he had we were training together back in like the year 2000, and he brought this kettlebell. I'd never seen one. He brought it to the park where we were working out, and he showed me, what to do with it. And I said to him, "Do you have a certification?" And he looked at me and he laughed at me. And he says, "Let me tell you something. When I was 12 years old, my dad took me into the backyard, showed me the kettlebell, said, 'You pick this up like this, you swing it like this, you press it like this.' He goes, "That was my certification." And I went, "Okay, fair enough." But it makes sense because, as you said, they've been doing this for years and years and years. Kettlebells are probably 300 or 400 years old. And this work has been just handed down, right, from father to son, or you teach the kids, in gym class. And from there, people just keep learning how to do this stuff.
No, it makes sense, and it does, I think in some ways that's, maybe a strong aspect of the history of martial arts themselves. It was just passed down.
Absolutely.
So well, this has been incredible. I don't want to keep it too long. I'm like, I love the idea of the morning power, being able to cultivate that, and I think that that really is covered in well, some of the videos that we've been, courses we've been looking at, but also
Sure.
the Isometric Warrior, training guide. And I like that you've got, I guess, ultimately a video, videos of these, and the katas as well. The Iron Body Kata looks amazing. I mean, so much of it looks great and definitely interests me. And I hope we can help get it out there and people can do it, because
That would be amazing.
because I can say, as an injured martial artist who does not want to stay that way, definitely, I'm 56 and I want to keep going. I mean, I feel great, but you start to realize that maybe it's one of those things about getting a little older. Is the like, at least for me, that disappointment that happens when there's something that you can't do. But the work you're doing is it changes that, because the truth is we can do it. We can do, we can run marathons in our 90s if we want, but we have to, those Russian school kids, they had an advantage doing the kettlebells, for gym class. They had quite the edge, and so we just need to, the work you're doing, get it out there, and get that fascia strong and flexible. And I mean, we can, like I say, there's no reason people can't be getting black belts in their 70s. They do,
They do.
they do. And it's, yeah.
The most important thing is to realize that you can do this. You are innately stronger than you think, but you have to train properly. I recommend training every day
Yes.
because consistency, 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 that is what builds warriors. So
Yeah.
do the work.
Do the work. Yeah, I like that. All right. Well, all of your stuff is all of your links in the show notes. Is there one for, I mean, and you're on Facebook, you're on Instagram. Or someone goes to Facebook and searches for John Haas, JONHAAS, they're going to find you. I think your main site is to find your stuff.
You can go to warriorfitness.org.
Warriorfitness.org. Okay, and I guess it's all there. I think
It's all there.
we were actually just looking at it. Well, the site we were looking at was a little different, but I think it all
It all
answers
links
it.
together. Yeah.
Find any part of it, and you're going to get to all of it.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks so much, John Haas, for being on the show, and I love getting this out to more people, and working on it myself. And is there any last, I think you've kind of already done it, but are there any last words, any last thoughts for people?
I just feel like as I get older, and I'm 53, as I get older, I want to be stronger. And I have, ever since I turned 40, I've used the phrase, stronger every day.
Yes.
That's how I sign off many of my emails. And I feel like if you train properly, if you trained mindfully, if you follow the right direction, the right resources, the right information, and do the work, most importantly, do the work, you can get stronger every day. That's the message.
Wow, stronger every day. You can't beat that. That's amazing. All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to turn off the recording right now. Stop recording. Are you sure you want to stop recording to the cloud?